Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the first Sunday of Advent.
Advent, Adventus, it means arrival or coming. But what are we waiting for? Well, we all have desires and expectations at this time. If we're young, we often desire toys at this period in the year. Maybe our desires are for certain new friendships or pleasures, success. Perhaps it's the absence of pain that we're hoping and desiring. Maybe a lottery win or something for others. These desires, some good, some bad, some neutral, are all present in the mix of our hearts. But we all know, by experience, and the Gospel consistently teaches this, that none of these things bring lasting, complete happiness. So what's the point? We get to Christmas, and when we've eaten all the food and opened all the presents and all the guests have gone home, we could easily say, what was the point of all that? As Shakespeare has written, life's but a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. 'Tis a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Without Christ, without eternal life, without heaven, everything can seem as nothing and would be as nothing. The very dissatisfaction at the core of our being with everything, which makes us so different from all other creatures on earth, may be teaching us something. It may not be pointless after all. Is God teaching us that we're made for a love that lasts, for a truth that holds firm, for everlasting life? We're made for God. Advent is the season to put our waiting, our hopes, our desires in order. There are three ways in which we wait for Christ, who promises us this lasting, true happiness. We wait for his coming at Bethlehem, that we celebrate at Christmas. And it's worth celebrating the 2011th time, because his coming changed things. It changed the hopes of the world. We hope, secondly, for his second coming at the end of time, when every eye will see him in a way that we do not yet know or fully comprehend. Or we wait for our meeting with him if we pass from this world prior to that second coming. Third, we wait for his coming now into our lives. That is perhaps the most important of all the comings. What can help us to prepare for Christ? There are many things at this time of the year that the Church gives us to aid us. We have the Advent wreath, and it's filled with symbolism. The candles are counting down week by week on the Sundays to the coming of Christ, who is the light of the world, represented, symbolized by the white candle in the center of the wreath. The purple candles are the lights of the Old Testament, the lights of longing of the nations, of the expectant hope for the coming of the Messiah. Their color, purple, represents penitence. This is a time to repent, to prepare for the coming of the Lord, to make straight his paths, to purify our souls. It's a time for confession. Purple is also the color of Imperium, because this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who comes. The evergreen of the wreath symbolizes something that will not die, and the very roundness of the wreath suggests eternal life, something that will not end. In the liturgy of these weeks, we keep hearing the sacred readings about the expectant hope of the Old Testament, words of waiting, words of desire, words of prophecy. It's a good time to listen to Handel's Messiah, which is based upon this same expectant hope for the coming of Christ. The Advent calendar is a good practice for Christians in the home. It's a way of building up that expectancy for the coming of Christ, opening a window of such a calendar each day. It can be an opportunity for prayer too. Also, Christmas cards of a religious variety, carol services, cheering and charitable events, all these things help us as we prepare for Christ's coming. But above all, personal prayer. There's a wonderful image of Christ painted by Holman Hunt called The Light of the World, where Christ stands with his lantern, knocking at the door. In the image, the door hasn't been opened in a long time, and all the plants have grown over that door. It's a symbol of the door of our souls, which haven't been opened to the light of Christ for a long time. Or if we're already followers of Christ, there may be parts of ourselves, compartments that are sealed off to him. All we have to do is to open that door. And even a little opening will allow the light to come in. There's nothing to be afraid of in the image. Christ is a welcoming figure. He says, "Do not be afraid. I stand at the door and knock," as is recorded in the book of Revelation. "And he who opens to me, I will enter and sit down to eat with him." That suggests he wants to be intimate with us, to know us, to show us his love and his way. There is no handle on the outside of that door in the image of Holman Hunt. The handle is on the inside. That's the presumption. Only we can open. Christ knocks on the doors of our hearts. He won't force his way in. This light of Christ will change our lives. In every parish throughout this world, there are people whose lives have been radically changed by this light. I can't promise you as a priest those toys and pleasures and successes and even the absence of suffering. But what I certainly can promise you, with the voice of Christ, with the voice of the Church, is the joy of the Lord. A happiness that will not end. This is what Advent is about. This is why his coming matters to every person on this earth. Maranatha, our Lord come.